The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Reads to Succeed, a program especially for young children. The first story today is How the Leopard Got His Spots by Rudyard Kipling and then retold by a lady named Rosie Dickens. Long ago, when the world was new, the leopard lived in a place called the High Plain. It wasn't the Low Plain or the Medium Plain, but the bare, hot, sunny High Plain. It was full of sand and sandy brown rock and sandy yellow grass. Everyone who lived there was sandy yellow or sandy brown, too. Leopard was the most sandy yellowy brown of all. He matched the sandy yellowy brown plain to the last hair. This made him very hard to see. When he was hunting, he could sneak up and surprise the other animals right out of their lives. Uh-oh, he sounds very dangerous. Searching for somewhere to hide, zebra and giraffe came to a forest. It was a great, high, tall forest full of dark blotches and patches and stripes of shadow. Zebra and giraffe stayed in the forest so long, they grew dark blotches and patches and striped, too. And there is a zebra who before looked like just a plain gray horse, now looks like a horse with black and white stripes. And when the giraffe first came to the forest, he was just a plain, sandy brown, yellowy thing. And now he's been in the forest so long, he has white stripes all over his body, on his brown body. And they're not stripes, they're sort of funny-looking blotches. And he still has his very long neck, of course. Now, zebra and the giraffe match the forest so beautifully, you could only see them if you knew where to look. So they got hidden nicely in the forest and blended in. Out on the plain, man and leopard hunted high and low together. "I'm so hungry," sighed the man. Leopard's tummy growled. "I want meat," he grumbled. After ever so many days, the two of them came to the forest. They couldn't see much, but oof! The man walked into something tall. Ow! Leopard bumped into something hairy. And what do you think the man bumped into? The giraffe. And leopard bumped into the zebra. They were camouflaged by the forest. Camouflage means they were hidden by other colors around it. "I caught a thing that feels like a giraffe," shouted the man. "I've caught a thing that smells like a zebra," Leopard roared back. They're both so excited. They dragged the things into a clearing and let go in confusion. "You are giraffe and zebra, but why are you so patchy and striped and strange?" "Let us show you," said giraffe, and zebra nodded eagerly. What do you think they're going to do? Giraffe and zebra turned and walked into the forest again. One, two, three. They vanished, just like that. Muffled laughter drifted through the leaves. "Where's your dinner now?" snorted zebra. The man rubbed his chin. "That's a clever trick," he said. "I think I can do that, too." "How?" said leopard. "Like this," said the man. He took a shadow and wrapped himself up in it so that he matched the shadows all around him. "What about me?" begged Leopard. "You should try spots," advised the man, and he held out his hand. Dab, 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 he made shadowy fingerprints all over Leopard's sandy, yellowy, brown fur, until it was completely covered in spots. "Now you and I can hide in the shadows, too," the man said. Since then, Leopards have always had spots. And if you look closely, the spots are always in bunches of five, from the five shadowy fingertips. And there's the leopard with his spots and the man hiding in the shadow. So they had learned to camouflage themselves too. How the leopard got his spots is from the book called Just So Stories by a man named Rudyard Kipling, which tells stories of how animals came to be the way they are. And he is a very famous writer. And so that's a book by him. This next story is called The Gingerbread Girl by Lisa Campbell Ernst. You may remember the sad story of the gingerbread boy. He ran away from the lonely old woman who baked him, as well as from many other hungry characters. His dash through life was ended in one greedy gulp by a sly fox pretending to help him across the river. This is the story of his younger but wiser sister. Sorry, these pages are hard to turn. A full year had passed since the lonely old woman and the lonely old man had lost their gingerbread boy to that devious fox. They were lonely, even lonelier than before. "Let's bake again," suggested the old man one morning. "But what if the same thing happens again?" cried the old woman. "I could not bear the loss." "Let's make this a girl this time and decorate her with candies." "Surely a sweet little girl wouldn't run away," answered the man. So they mixed up the dough and rolled it and cut it out. They dressed it with as many candies as they could fit, completing the cookie with an amazing hairdo made of licorice whips. "She is sweet," gasped the woman as she slid the cookie sheet into the oven. While the lonely old man and the lonely old woman stood by the watch by the oven, they talked, remembering their gingerbread boy's short life. He should never have run away. He should never have trusted that fox. And as the new cookie baked, her mind woke up and she heard everything. "Sweet or not," she thought, "things will be different this time." When it was time for the cookie to be done, the old man carefully, very carefully, cracked open the oven door to peek. Bam! Up jumped the gingerbread cookie, running towards the door. The little old woman screamed, "Stop! Stop!" and the little old man came running. But the cookie was already out the door and headed down the same path her brother had traveled. "Here we go," whispered the gingerbread girl. The man and the woman chased after her, but she sang, "I'll run and I'll run with a leap and a twirl. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread girl." As the gingerbread girl dashed along the path, she came to a group of farmers working in the field. The aroma of fresh baked gingerbread caught their attention. "Wait," the hungry farmer shouted, and began to run after the gingerbread girl. She laughed and called, "Hey, farmers, don't bother. Like my brother, I'm fast. Run all you want, but I've learned from his past. I'll run and I'll run with a leap and a twirl. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread girl." So the three farmers, the farmer and his wife and his little boy riding on a horse, are going after that gingerbread girl. Farther down the road, a pig came into view. As the gingerbread girl grew closer, her candy sparkled in the sunlight. The pig squealed with joy. But the gingerbread girl was too fast. She leaped right over him, singing, "I can leap past piggy like all of the others. This story will not end like that of my brothers. I'll run and I'll run with a leap and a twirl. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread girl." Down the path, she came upon an artist. "A masterpiece good enough to eat," the artist whispered.
and reached out to scoop up the gingerbread girl. With some fancy footwork, the gingerbread girl zipped past, laughing. "I can outrun this artist like I outran the pig. I am one smart cookie, despite this wild wig." There she has her licorice strips hair flying in the wind. It's red licorice, too, so it really does not look like real hair. "I'll run and I'll run with a leap and a twirl. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread girl." Farther along, the gingerbread girl passed a cow with her calf, who mooed happily. "Mama, I want a cookie to go with my milk." But when the cow tried to catch the gingerbread girl, she soon found herself running behind, listening to the gingerbread girl call, "Chase if you want, I'm faster than you, although you have 4 feet and I've only 2. I'll run and I'll run with a leap and a twirl. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread girl." Up ahead, a dog walker crossing the path with 3 dogs on their leashes. The dogs barked happily, seeing a tasty treat headed right their way. "You're joining the chase, the gingerbread girl sped past, singing, "You're joining the chase, the more the merrier, but no one can stop me, not a hound, not a terrier. And I'll run with a leap and a twirl. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread girl." There are the 3 dogs charging after her. Now the path ran right past a school. The children were out for recess and feeling quite hungry. Shouts of "Cookie!" were heard across the playground. The gingerbread girl waved to them all as they joined the chase with their teachers, and she sang, "I know that it's snack time and you want a sweet. Come follow along and you'll soon have a treat. I'll run and I'll run with a leap and a twirl. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread girl." And there went the whole class and the teacher and the pig and the 3 dogs and the dog walker and who else? The cow and the 3 farmers and their horse. Everybody was chasing after that gingerbread girl. Finally, the gingerbread girl came to the same river her brother had tried to cross. Now, who do you think would be waiting there? The same sneaky fox that had eaten her brother. "Hello, my pretty," crooned the fox. "I was a friend of your brother's. It looks like trouble runs in this family. Do let me help you across the river. Just jump onto my tail." The gingerbread girl shivered and then sang in nearly a whisper, "Do I have your promise for a safe ride to shore? You won't drop me or eat me. That's all I implore." The fox chuckled, "I promise, my sweet little tidbit." And the gingerbread girl gingerly climbed on the fox's tail. Uh-oh! The instant the gingerbread girl climbed on the fox, he dove into the water, ready for a fabulous feast. "Ooh, the water is so deep, moved my back," he insisted, thinking that this cute cookie was even dumber than her brother. Anyone could tell by looking at her that she was an airhead. The gingerbread girl did what she was told. "That's a good little girl," said the fox with a snicker. "Oh, my, the water is deeper now. Move to my head." No sooner had he spoken those words than the gingerbread girl leaped onto his head, pulling off a strand of her own leathery licorice hair. With the expertise of a ranch hand, she triple-looped it around the fox's snout and tied it with a half-hitch knot. "You're right," she whispered in the fox's ear. "I am good." The fox snarled and struggled and strained, thrashing about, but the gingerbread girl hung on, turning him backward towards the crowd. Riding the fox like a bucking bronco, the gingerbread girl whizzed past, singing, "He'll run and he'll run with a leap and a twirl. Come follow me, I'm the gingerbread girl." And there's the fox with his mouth tied together tightly by one of the licorice whips that the gingerbread girl pulled out of her head. And she's riding him now, and she's in charge. The fox is not going to get her. The awestruck crowd followed all the way back to the lonely old woman and the lonely old man's house. The gingerbread girl rode into the kitchen, secured the fox, and jumped onto the table. And she measured and she mixed with a leap and a twirl, singing, "I'll bake you some more, I'm the gingerbread girl." The old man and the old woman quickly joined in to help, having a hungry, happy houseful of people and animals to feed. From that moment on, of course, they were never lonely again. And there it is, all those people squeezed into the little house and all those animals. There's a gingerbread girl making up some gingerbread cookies that didn't look like boys or girls, but looked like stars and hearts and other things to feed all these hungry guests. And what of the fox? The gingerbread girl was eventually able to teach him some manners using gingerbread crumbs for treats. Most days you could see them riding across the countryside and hear a small voice drifting in the breeze. "We'll run and we'll run with a leap and a twirl. I outfox that fox. I'm the gingerbread girl." And that's the end of that story. Now, our next story is called The Ring Bearer by Floyd Cooper. And maybe some of you have been a ring bearer before or a flower girl in a wedding. Well, this is about a little boy and his little sister. He was supposed to take those rings up the aisle, and the little sister was supposed to scatter flowers and rose petals onto the ground before the bride came in. So here we go with The Ring Bearer by Floyd Cooper. Mama is having a wedding, and Jackson is worried. What will it be like to call Bill Dad and share stuff with Sophie, his new little sister? Things won't be the same around here anymore. Jackson had an important job at the wedding, and he's not sure he can do it. Jackson's job is to take care of the rings. Uh-oh, that is an important job, isn't it? Bill walks by. Bill is the man who's going to marry Jackson's mom. Pinching his hanky at the middle, he flips it, and folds it into his pocket to sit like a pet bird. Jackson giggles, but he's still nervous. Mama's having a wedding, and Jackson has to carry the rings down the aisle. "Why the droopy shoulders?" Bill asks as he lifts Jackson high and makes him tall. Jackson smiles away up there on Bill's shoulders, but inside he thinks, "Mama's having a wedding, and I have to carry the rings. But I don't want to trip in front of everyone and mess it all up. Maybe Bill should carry the rings." That doesn't happen, does it? Usually it's the ring bearer who bears the rings, not the guy who's going to get married. Tall Jackson walks over to little Sophie, he's still up on Bill's shoulders, who is busy counting the flowers she has in the basket. Sophie has an important job, too. She has to carry the flowers. Actually, she's carrying the rose petals. Grandpop helps them practice, shows them how to walk down the aisle slow and steady. "That way you won't trip," Grandpa says, like he knows what's in Jackson's heart. But Jackson is still worried. The music starts, and Sophie takes off, throwing her rose petals. Grandpa nudges Jackson to get him going, too. Jackson walks slow and steady, while Sophie skips ahead, ignoring Grandpa's advice. Mama's having a wedding, and Jackson has an important job to do, and no matter what Sophie does, he will not trip down the aisle. So there she goes running, even though she knows she really isn't supposed to do that. But anyway, she gets too excited to think about that. Jackson sees Sophie coming to a step, but Sophie only sees her flowers. Oh, no! So Jackson rushes to Sophie, just as she trips on the steps, and catches her before she falls. Wow, that was a good catch, wasn't it? Jackson looks at Grandpa. Grandpa cheers. Mama and Bill cheer, too. The whole wedding cheers. They're all cheering for Jackson. Sophie smiles and grabs Jackson's hand. They walk together slow and steady the rest of the way. Sophie stands next to her dad. Jackson waits for his mama, who is coming down the aisle now with Grandpop by her side, looking like the prettiest lady in the whole church. Jackson sneaks a peek at Sophie, making sure she is still okay. When Mama gets to the end of the aisle, she bends down next to Jackson. "You're a great big brother, Jack," she whispers. "Sophie is going to be so lucky to have you around." Looking at Mama and Sophie and Bill and Grandpop, Jackson is not worried anymore. He's not nervous when he reaches into his pocket for the rings. He's not nervous when he gives them to Mama and to Bill. And when the preacher finally says, "They're all a family now," Jackson knows deep in his heart that he doesn't have to be so nervous about important jobs. And he definitely doesn't have to be nervous about being a big brother. Mama got married, and Jackson handled his job just right. Our next book is called, Madeline's Rescue by Ludwig Bemelmans. In an old house in Paris that was covered with vines lived 12 little girls in two straight lines. They left the house at 9:30 in two straight lines, in rain or shine. The smallest one was Madeline. She was not afraid of mice. She loved the winter snow and ice. To the tiger in the zoo, Madeline just said, "Pooh, pooh." Nobody knew her so well, and nobody knew so well how to frighten Miss Clavel. Miss Clavel was the lady who looked after these 12 little girls. Until the day she slipped and fell. Madeline got up, fell off the bridge. She was climbing along the wall like she shouldn't have been, and she went down and plunged into the river. Poor Madeline would now be dead. There she is, trying to swim, and she can't swim very well, and she was very far from the shore. But for a dog that kept its head and dragged her safe from a watery grave. There's a dog dragging Madeline to the shore. He jumped in to get her. "From now on, I hope you will listen to me. Here is a cup of chamomile tea." There's poor Madeline being dried off by Miss Clavel, getting dry clothes, snuggling up into her bed with a water bottle, warm water bottle, on her head. And there is the dog in the bed with her. He snuck in. And there's Miss Clavel telling her she should really listen to her instead of doing what she wants. "Good night, little girls. I hope you sleep well." Good night, dear Miss Clavel. Miss Clavel turned out the light, and after she left, there was a fight about where that dog would sleep the night. That new pupil was so helpful and clever. There's the dog in the classroom while the little girls do their lessons. The dog loved biscuits, milk, and beef, and they named it Genevieve. She could sing and almost talk and enjoyed their daily walk. Soon the snow began to fly. Inside it was warm and dry, and 6 months passed quickly by. When the 1st of May came near, there was nervousness each year. For on that day there arrived a collection of trustees for the annual inspection. The inspection was most thorough, much to everyone's sorrow. Tap, tap. "What can that be?" Tap, tap. "Come out and let me see." They knew something was under the bed. "Dear me, it's a dog. Isn't there a rule that says dogs aren't allowed in school?" asked one of the people who were inspecting the dormitory. "Miss Clavel, get rid of it, please," said the president of the board of trustees. "Yes, but the children love her so," said Miss Clavel. "Please don't make her go." I dare say, said Lord Cuckoo Face. I mean, it's a perfect disgrace for young ladies to embrace this creature of uncertain race. Off you go, go on, run, scat, go away and don't come back. And there's the poor dog being run out of the home for the girls and stuck into the street to go away. Madeline jumped on a chair. Lord Cuckoo Face, she cried, beware. Miss Genevieve, noblest dog in France, you shall have your vengeance. That means that they were going to get their payback for getting rid of that beautiful dog. It's no use crying or talking. Let's go get dressed and go out walking. The sooner we're ready, the sooner we'll leave. The sooner we'll find Miss Genevieve. This is after the trustees have left, and Miss Clavel loved the dog as much as the 12 little girls, and everybody was crying, including Miss Clavel. They're going on their walk, and they're going to find the dog Genevieve. They went looking high and low. In every place a dog might go, in every place they called her name. But no one answered to the same. They went through the busy parts of town, past a big cemetery. They went into a big, big park, and there was a carousel, and many, many people with their dogs out in the park that day. And everybody seemed to have a dog except the 12 little girls who missed their own little dog so much. Everybody had a dog. And there the little girls sat. The gendarmes were police, the word for police. This story comes from France. And so in French, the policemen are called the gendarmes. The gendarmes said, we don't believe we've seen a dog like Genevieve. Hours after they started, they all came back home, broken-hearted. Oh, Genevieve, where can you be? Genevieve, please come back to me. In the middle of the night, Miss Clavel turned on the light and said, something is not right. An old street lamp shed its light on Miss Genevieve outside. She was petted, she was fed, and everybody went to bed. Good night, little girls, I hope you sleep well. Good night, Miss Clavel. Miss Clavel turned out the light, and again there was a fight, and each little girl cried, Genevieve is mine tonight. For a second time that night, Miss Clavel turned on her light. And afraid of a disaster, she ran fast and even faster. If there's one more fight about Genevieve, I'm sorry, but you'll have to leave. For the third time that night, Miss Clavel turned on the light. And to her surprise, that she found there was suddenly enough hound to go all around, and there Genevieve had many puppies, I think 12, to go around for all the little girls. We have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening today.